Hello again, and welcome to Thine Word is a Lamp. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today is indeed a good day of the Lord. This is Minika, and I'm so happy to be with you today as we read and study God's Word. We will look at the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, we find words that express deep and strong emotions. Some psalms express joyful praise. Some psalms express a thirst for God. Other psalms express repentance and confession of sin. Others express despair. And others express a cry to God. But we find a whole spectrum of human emotions and experience expressed in the psalms. Psalms are songs. Psalms are worship. Psalms are poetry to God. Psalms are prayer. But at the heart of all the psalms, there is a deep trust in God. So for the next few days, we'll enter into that experience of the psalms. Our focus today is on Psalms chapters 1 and 2. And I will be reading from the Amplified Bible Translation. So get out your Bibles and let's dive into the reading of God's Word. Psalms 1. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of the scoffers or ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. The wicked, those who live in disobedience to God's law, are not so. But they are like the chaff, the worthless and without substance, which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand unpunished in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows and fully approves the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar, in turmoil against God? And why do the people devise a vain and hopeless plot? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, the Davidic king, the Messiah, the Christ, saying, let us break apart their divine bonds of restraint and carry away their cord of control from us. He who sits enthroned in the heaven laughs at their rebellion. The sovereign Lord scoffs at them, and in supreme contempt, he mocks them. Then he will speak to them in his profound anger and terrify them with his displeasure, saying, yet as for me, I have anointed and firmly installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. This day I proclaim I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will assuredly give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them in pieces like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, act wisely, be instructed, and take warning, O leaders judges, rulers of the earth. Worship the Lord and serve him with reverence, with awe-inspired fear and submissive wonder. Rejoice, yet do so with trembling. Kiss, pay respect to the Son, so that he does not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled and set aflame. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God are all those who take refuge in him. May God bless the reading of his word. So let's start with Psalm 1. Psalm 1 makes an observation that all people are separated by how they choose to live. And it presents to us two ways to live. The way of the world, which is a picture of the ungodly, or the way of the word, which is a picture of the godly. People who are oriented around the world's value of Psalm 1 are those who seek independence from God, those who live according to the world's standard. At times, this way of life appears to be the way of success, the way of acceptance, the way of prosperity. And sometimes even the children of God become attracted to it and blinded by the outcomes of this. However, someone helps us to see things in ultimate perspective. You see, the prosperity of the wicked is fleeting. It is earthly. It is momentary. For they are like straw, like chaff, blown away by the wind. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Notice the progression here. Delight, then meditation. Delight is that response of the heart to the beauty and value of God's word. You see, the spiritually happy man is characterized by the consistent contemplation and internalization of God's word for direction and for obedience. Meditation involves careful, sustained thought of the word of God. Like a tree growing beside a stream. Now, trees need nourishing by water. And water in the scripture denotes the word. So if we read and think on God's word, we are made strong. We are like trees. This nourishment of the word of God will make this godly man strong in the spirit, whose leaves will not wither. And this is a metaphor to show fruitfulness. The key word in Psalm 1 is the word blessed. It serves here as a pronouncement upon a man, but not just any man. It's the righteous man. The word blessed refers to redemptive favor. Psalm 1 teaches that the blessed or happy man is the righteous man. The happy man is the man that avoids evil influences. He avoids evil deeds. He avoids evil attitudes. He delights in God's word, and therefore God causes him to prosper. On the other hand, the ungodly is worth no more than chaff, and his destiny is judgment. Finally, our destination is described in verse 6, because the Lord protects all who follows him, but the wicked follow a road that leads to their destruction. So someone begins with the blessed, and it ends with those who will perish. What can we take home from this? There is a broad way that leads to destruction, But there is also the narrow way of righteousness, which leads to eternal life in Christ. The ungodly live around the godly in this world. But there is going to be a separation at harvest time. The alternative way of life is a life of dependent delight in divine instruction. And therefore, the righteous need to orient their lives around God's revealed word. This is through a life of faith that leads to blessings, that leads to fruitfulness, and through fellowship with God, so that the fruitful tree does not become chaff. So meditate on God's word to strengthen and to sustain our delight, to penetrate our minds, our hearts, so deeply that we are transformed. As it says in Romans 12:2, transformed by the renewal of our mind as we take in more and more of the life-giving water of the word. So let me round up Psalm 1 with this. Godly children should live a separate life, distinct from the ungodly. We should be separate in our allegiance to God. We should be separate in our attitudes. We should be separate in our actions. And we should be separate from the world in our availability. We are experts at multitasking. Today, we are experts at embracing new technology. We are experts at using social media. We are experts on our jobs. We are experts at all sorts of things. But we are not yet experts at meditating on God's word. Therefore, let us make a commitment to ourselves today to intentionally cultivate meditation on God's word. May you lay hold of the blessings of Psalm 1 as you delight in the beauty and value of God's revealed word, and as you seek to sustain and strengthen that delight through intentional meditation in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 presents four scenarios or four scenes. Scene 1 starts with the human rebellion. The king of the earth rejects the Messiah's right to rule. Psalm 2 begins with the questions, why do the nations rage? Why? Why do the nations rage? Why are the nations in uproar, in turmoil against God? And why do the people devise a vain and hopeless, note the word hopeless, plot? Why? The question why sets the tone of Psalm 2. It is one of astonishment at the senseless, very senseless rejection of God's rule. The nations and peoples are led by the kings and rulers, and they direct their hostility towards the Lord and his anointed one. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered total rejection. And the same rejection is still happening today. And we go on to scene 2, which shows the divine reaction. In response, God, who sits in the heavens and who sovereignly reigns over creation, mocks the nations and ridicules their prides. All of man's power is as nothing with Almighty God. God does not even bother to try to straighten them out. God's laughter shows the folly of rebelling against him. But our God is patient. But there is a time when he will speak his wrath. And the contents of God's wrath is in the coronation statement. Now, the rebels think that they are simply opposing another Israelite king, when in reality they are opposing God. because he is behind the Israelite king. I can tell you one thing, it is not a pleasant thing to feel the wrath of God. Did you know that God is not worried about man's rebellion against him? Don't you ever think that God is fretting in heaven right now, wondering what to do? He lets man go on for a while in his rebellion, but then his anger and judgment will come, and man's proud plans will come to nothing. Sin 3 is the sin of divine rule. The Lord has appointed his son to be king all over the earth. And the time is coming when this son and king, who is the Messiah, will take possession of the whole earth and its people. And no one can stop God's king. The nations and people will have no say in the plan of God. In fact, no one, absolutely no one does. And that brings us to sin 4, which is the human responsibility. You see, the only hope for rebels, the only hope for all the people of the earth, is to take to heart the psalmist's words and to worship him. Worship the Lord, it says in verse 11. Worship the Lord and serve him with reverence, with awe, inspired fear, and submissive wonder. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss and pay respect to the Son, so that he does not become angry and you perish in the way. What can we take home from this? You see, even though the world looks right now as if God has been on an extended vacation, David, who is the writer of this psalm, shows us that God's plans have not failed, will not fail, cannot fail. Everything is under his sovereign control, and he will always triumph. God is not on an extended vacation. It's very important that you realize this. Satan is the author of rebellion. Under his authority, these demons now wage war against the children of God. Now, Satan walks through the pride of world rulers to weaken the nations through conflict and to keep them from submitting to God. But as biblical prophecy shows, in the end times, all nations will come together under a single world ruler in defiance of the Lord and his anointed. And Satan is the main force behind this. But do not fret. Do not be afraid. Because God says in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, it says, say to them, as assuredly as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but prefer that the wicked change his behavior and live. Turn back from your evil deeds. Why should you die, O God of Israel? You see, God does not want man to rebel. And he continues to admonish the wicked. And he continues to offer a chance for repentance. You see, no one can find peace and safety anywhere in the world, but only in Christ. Because he blesses and protects everyone who runs to him. It says in verse 12, how blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored are all those who take refuge. Refuge is a hiding place. Refuge is a place of protection. Who take refuge in him. So where does that leave us, children of God? We should continue to address the nations boldly in his name. It doesn't matter what you see now. It doesn't matter what you see now. It doesn't matter what is going on in the world now. This is not a time to fear. We should continue to address the nations boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. We should continue to evangelize boldly in his name. Let's do everything we can to make Christ the Lord of the nations. Make Christ the Lord of the nation you live in. Make Christ the Lord of the city you live in. Make Christ the Lord of the environment that you live in, the area that you live in. Make Christ the Lord. Make Christ the Lord at your workplace. Make Christ the Lord in your school. Make Christ the Lord in every environment you find yourself in. Let us not be timid. Let us not live in fear, because God will ultimately triumph. God bless you for listening. Now, if you have a prayer request, you can email me at thinewordisalamp. I'll say that at gmail.com. thinewordisalamp@gmail.com. Thine word, T-H-I-N-E. And I will be praying for you. Send in your prayer requests. And so we come to the end of today's broadcast. And I'd like you to join me next time on Thine Word is a Lamp, as we continue to dig into the Word of God. Have a blessed and most wonderful day. This is Minika, over and out.